are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program. Welcome back to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We haven't been together in about a week. We have a special guest with us today. We're recording this on Wednesday, October 14th, the year 2020. And whether this is your first episode or your 67th episode, we're happy to have you aboard. Tonight, we have the master of the RPI, Carl James, the stats guru, Cassidy Palmer, and a special guest, right-handed pitcher, Connor Manis. Before we get to Connor, we're going to get to the Hoosier highlights. Now, we have Aaron Sleggers one win away from the World Series, okay? If he wins tonight, we're going to have a Hoosier baseball alum going to the World Series. And look for later tonight, he's probably going to pitch. He seemed to pitch game four of the series, so hopefully Aaron hits the mound tonight. And we could have for the, I guess it's been since Schwarber, right? So we'll have a Hoosier alum in the World Series. He knocked out the Evil Empire already. He's beaten the Cheetahs now. Just wrap it up, Rays. Wrap it up. It'll be a beautiful thing. Also for the Hoosier highlights, we have four alumni. They didn't have a minor league season, but they are going to have Major League Baseball Instructional League 2020. And that's Matt Gorski, Matt Lloyd, Timmy Herron, and Andrew Salfrank. So that's big time. They get to practice. It's a two-week schedule. It runs to, I think, about the middle of November. Lots of instructions. They do play games out in Arizona. So it'll be pretty cool for them to at least be out there and get to play. You know, they lost the whole minor league season, at least some action for them. And it's an honor to get invited. It's not like every minor leaguer got sent to these things. Believe me, I hunted rosters. We have four Hoosiers on it, and you got to be proud for them. We're going to send it over to Cass now to get some stats on Connor Manis.
Thank you, Chris. So for Connor on his career, he has a 2.58 ERA in 76 and two-thirds innings spread across 47 appearances. He has a 2.17 batting average against and has 62 strikeouts on his career compared to just 24 walks. And statistically, 2020 was looking particularly good for Connor before COVID. He had given up no runs in eight innings pitched, spread across six appearances. He had struck out 12 in those eight innings compared to just three walks. And he gave up no extra base hits in the shortened 2020 season. So Connor, welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited.
Well, you were the runner-up at the Connie Mack World Series when you played for Prairie Gravel out in Illinois. There you played with one-time IU recruit, Skylar Skoczynski, former teammate Grant Sloan, former Michigan standout Ako Thomas, among many other players that are now in the professional ranks. How good was that team, and what do you remember most about that experience?
Honestly, that was the best team I've ever played on. From top to bottom, we have kids that were going D1 at every single position. Every single kid we'd bring in would be going someplace Division 1 or got drafted. I think there's like 10 to 12 kids that were on our team that are in the minors right now. We had a starting shortstop, Team USA, Jeremy Ironman, along with KO, Skylar, Grant. It was just so fun because every time we went out there, it was like we knew we were going to win or like have a really good chance of winning. And some other experiences I remember. The first time I played with them, I was playing shortstop, and I was just filling in for Charlie Donovan, who was like the best shortstop in all of the country at the time. And I made like two errors that game, and they pulled me out of short and they put me into pitch, and I threw like two scoreless, like struck out five. And I came back in the dugout, they go, "Why are you playing shortstop? You're a pitcher." And so that was the day I knew I wasn't going to be playing shortstop much longer. I just stuck with playing short throughout high school, but started focusing more on pitching with them. And they made it super easy behind all those crazy athletes that we had pitching behind or to pitch behind.
So your senior year at Munster, you actually had the opportunity to play with your brother. How was that experience, and how is it getting to be Hoosiers together?
It was actually a really cool experience. We won the sectional together that year. We lost in regionals in the 10th inning on a devastating play, but we ended up losing. But it was a great year. He led our team in like everything hitting wise. And my best friend was the catcher, and my brother played center field. So it was just a neat experience being able to play with my best friend and brother all on the same team, same year, doing so well. And now getting to play together in college is really nice for my parents more. So they don't have to go to two different colleges every weekend. They can come down here and spend time with both of us, see us equally. And whenever, like, he's having trouble or something, I'm there for him to help him out during baseball. And if I'm just wanting to talk to someone, he's there too. So it's really nice having him down here.
So out of the two of you, who's faster?
Oh, me. No, I'm kidding. I can't. He'll blow me out.
And what's your go-to pitch to get him out when you're facing ball. Each other?
My curveball. I'll throw that to anyone.
Nice. You guys had a lot of battles one-on-one growing up?
Not really. No, he was such a big difference, like, age-wise, that either he was playing, like, filling in for my team, like, on the same team just playing up, or he was always just in a tournament the same time I was in a tournament.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get him at the BART then, throw him the curve.
Yeah.
Now we heard you also played basketball in high school and that you led it for three seasons and you banged out like three buzzer beaters. Tell us about playing hoops, man.
Yes. Those were some really good times. We actually ended up playing the number one team in the state, East Chicago, in our sectional championship at their place. 5,500 people were there. They had three Division I players, and not just any Division I. They were getting recruited by Kansas, Kentucky. Damian Jefferson went to New Mexico, and then he went to Creighton. And then they had two other kids that went to Texas Tech, and one went to Kansas for a little bit. So we ended up beating them in the sectional championship. And that was just one of the craziest atmospheres I've ever played in baseball or basketball, just because of how packed that gym was that night. And those buzzer beaters I actually hit one of them against East Chicago the next year when I only had two of the guys. But yeah, it was a great time playing basketball. I mean, I wouldn't really trade it. I would not give up playing to like just keep working for baseball. Like, in the off season, because it just like gave me a break from baseball. It gave me like time to do like something away from baseball, get my mind off of it. And I really enjoyed it, and I did well with it. So
they left you open again the second year to hit another buzzer beater? The same team?
I got a rebound and I had to drill back to the 3-point line. We were down by three, and I did like a double pump fake, chucked from the corner. Sweet. I hit it, yeah.
Say, the same team letting you do it again would have been kind of strange.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Well, we've had some very successful players at IU that have come from the region, such as D'Lo and Kalitha, and now yourself. So what is it about the region that produces so many great baseball players?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I'd say that just everyone works really hard. Like, Kalitha was a grinder. Craig Deedle came in here without a scholarship, and then he worked his way all the way up to a 9th-round draft pick, killing his way through the minor leagues. He and I were, like, I played with him my freshman year of high school. He was a senior. We played together for that year. And then it was nice being able, when I transferred here, to have him, like, just to hang out with or talk to if I needed any advice or anything. And we still are. Like, we keep in contact a lot. We talk a good amount still, and we're still pretty good friends. So it's like fun having to fill in the shoes of Craig and Kalitha as well.
Well, even from your freshman fall ball introduction, you've had a nasty late drop to your curveball that gets a lot of attention and quite a few missed bats. Can you talk a bit about how you've developed that pitch over the years?
Yeah, so I've always had a really good curveball. Growing up, I didn't start throwing it till 15, but when I started throwing it, it ended up being pretty well. And then I got here, and obviously college hitters see a lot better stuff like when compared to what mine was when I first came in. So I struggled a little bit, made some changes. I figured out that the ball was popping a little bit out of my hand so the hitters could see it a little before. And then when Coach Parker came, he fixed a lot of my mechanical stuff, and that's kind of when my curveball started to really take off. And then last year when Drivine came in, they changed my grip, just a very small change in my grip, and it added 3 or 4 inches in my vertical drop. And ever since then, me and Coach Parker haven't looked back. So that's a fun pitch for both of us. Whenever he puts it down, he knows I love throwing it. So.
Now, you were the ace of your high school baseball team, obviously, for months. They're coming out of your senior year. And you started a couple games at the bar, if I remember, Western Kentucky and Butler and stuff early on in your career here. And then the big change to the back of the pen. You know, has it been adapting to that for you?
Honestly, I really like it. My parents always asked me that, too, when I first started. And I was like, you only get one start a week. And if you don't do great, you want to get out there right away. But if you're a reliever, you got to be out there, be ready to throw every single day. And that's kind of like my mindset, like with Coach Parker too. It's always like me, Braden Scott, always got to be ready to go out there and throw that next day, no matter like how many pitches we threw, unless we threw obviously more than 30 in that day. But it's always fun being able to run back out there and just to keep shutting the door on teams that are trying to come back and beat us.
So you'd rather pitch more. You'd rather pitch out of the pen day after day after day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's fun too. Those high pressure situations, ninth inning, can't really ask for much better than that.
Nah, you've done real well. And the multiple innings, you've had a bunch of multiple innings out of the pen that have gone out well. Yeah. How's the preparation different for a reliever than a starter?
I'd say the throwing and the lifting. Starting with the throwing, I try to just do a consistent throwing program, 120 feet, game days, just get my arm going. So that way I'll be ready. My arm's not too dead. Workouts, the same thing. It's if you throw the day before, if you threw on a Friday, you're working out with Will on a Saturday morning, just getting your body ready to play again tonight, that same day. And I was starting, I'd have a long toss program I'd go through. I'd have different workouts at different days. So that's a little bit different, relieving to starting wise. But other than that, it's not too big. I mean, whenever you get the ball, you got to be ready. That's kind of what my mindset is. So
when you're getting ready to face a weekend series, what kind of prep work do you get for a specific team?
Honestly, not a lot. Coach Parker kind of tells us who the better hitters are. We can go look at film and stuff and see, but for the most part, he just wants us to trust our stuff, attack with a fastball and just go out there and dominate and trust the plan that he's calling on the bench. Cause he's such a smart coach that if you execute his game plan, it's pretty hard to execute your pitches. We talk about it. We talk about more of our mentality of our team just coming out and not letting up any runs, not being very stingy. But the other team, it's all right, yeah, they got some good players, but make sure you know they're one or two really good players. And other than that, just attack with your fastball.
Okay. Is the ninth inning a different animal than pitching at a different time in the game?
Yes and no. Those last three outs are obviously the hardest to get in the game. But if you're able to control the emotions, which I've grown up to be able to control those emotions in the bigger stages, It's not really any different. You got to get three outs. You got to execute your pitches. You got to do everything that you would need to do in the first inning. It's the last inning for them to score, so the pressure increases, but nothing really else increases.
Now, Connor, you've spent your summers pitching kind of all over the country, from the Cape to Kalamazoo. What do you enjoy about summer ball?
I like meeting a whole bunch of new players, competing against some of the best kids in the country when I was out in the Cape. That baseball was second to none. Playing, we had six or seven kids drafted in the first round just for my team. Played against Spencer Torkelson, the number one draft pick. We played against basically anyone you can think of that's a big first five rounder. So, I mean, it's just great to go out there and compete and see where you stack up against those other guys and know that you can go out there and compete and get those guys out just as well as you can when you're here at school. So.
And what team or experience was your favorite as far as summer ball goes?
Experience. I really liked, I was down in Georgia this summer, Macon, Georgia. That my host family was the best host family I've ever had. So it made my experience a lot better. That was the best part. The best baseball was obviously the Cape. Getting to play against those kids were second to none. Like I said, it just, you can't find anywhere else that you're going to have those kind of players in that small area.
You got a ton of scouts going to those games too, right?
Oh yeah. You get there at 1 o'clock for a 5 o'clock game, and there's probably 30 to 50 scouts depending on who is the starting pitcher for that night.
Wow. And you guys noticed that, right? Like, you know, you're coming out of the pen, you know, there's 10 scouts behind the plate or no?
More so when we're doing batting practice, because obviously they're the only people there.
Right.
They're the only people in the stands, and we're just out there shagging. So when we're watching them hit, you see people in the stands, and you grow accustomed to just knowing that it's scouts for the hitters right now. But no, when you come in the game, it's just game on. I don't really care or think about any of the scouts.
I've always wondered that, because, you know, we go to the bar a lot, obviously, and we know certain nights, like every night Steve or pitch, there was a ton of scouts there.
Yeah.
But then they might also see somebody else that they didn't come there to see, and then they find a gem. Like, I really believe that's why Timmy Herron got drafted so high, because of a lot of nights he came in after Steve or whatever the case. It's got to be hard. It's not game-wise, you're able to, yeah?
No, yeah, you get so used to it from such a young age. I mean, I was in eighth grade, freshman year, and there's college scouts behind there. So it's like, this is my eighth or ninth year pitching behind radar guns,
right,
in front of a bunch of people. So it's, I mean, it's just like pitching in front of 5,000 people. It's the same thing to me, I feel like.
Got it. Now, obviously, we, you know, love to watch our alumni go through to the major league stadiums, and like Sleggers tonight, hopefully we'll be pitching. And we had Kyle Hart and stuff. I did a little deep YouTube deep dive, and I heard you tell a story about your family trying to hit all the major league stadiums to go to a ball game. And at that point, you were at 15. Where are you guys at now?
We're still at 15.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we haven't had any time, because the baseball season's always the same time as, unless you count Seattle, but we never saw a game in Seattle. We just played out there.
Yeah.
That'd be another one. But yeah, I mean, we'd always do like a trip that year before school started when we were younger to go see other stadiums and stuff. But now that baseball 24/7 throughout every single game that goes on for the MLB, it's kind of hard to get to any stadiums.
Plus, you got you and your brother.
Exactly.
So it's
yeah.
harder,
we're always right? on different schedules and stuff too with school and everything.
Now, I got to ask, though, how does a kid from the region end up in the dugout in Yankee Stadium with Derek?
All right, so we were doing, like, a road trip. We went to New York, Boston, and Philly. And that was in, like, the August right before school started. We ended up getting to New York, like, 10 hours before the game started for the Yankees. So my dad was like, let's go check out old Yankee Stadium, because that was the first year of the new Yankee Stadium. Well, we couldn't really check out old Yankee Stadium because it was all like barriered off and everything. So we saw someone standing outside, like saying tour here at 3 o'clock. You'll get to see like all the stadium, get to go in the dugout, the clubhouse, all that stuff. So we're like, I mean, we're here. We might as well do it. We got to go to center field, see all those like the statues. And it just so ended up that Derek Jeter was doing a shoot for some magazine. I mean, you know how many magazines he's in.
He was fancy guy.
He was doing some shoot with one of the magazines, and we were like, oh my gosh, it's Derek Jeter out there. And we're sitting in the dugout, and all of a sudden he comes walking in, and we have my brother and I both have our baseballs out, like waiting for him to come by. He signed mine and my brother's ball and then ran into the dugout because he started getting attacked by everyone else that was in there. So, I mean, I still have the visual of him just walk, like, it's, that was my favorite player growing up. So being able to meet him and get his autograph was so cool for me at the age of 10 or 12.
That's some story. I had heard about it on that YouTube, but now we get to hear the details. It's even better. As a Mets fan, I do not like Derek Jeter, but I could see why you would appreciate it. And I'm glad you guys got to do that, man. That's real cool stuff.
All right. So, Connor, what are you studying at IU, and how are you thinking about applying that in your future career after baseball?
Well, I graduated last spring, so when all the corona stuff was going on. So I graduated with a sport marketing and management degree and a minor in Kelley School of Business Marketing. And then this year I'm taking some more Kelley School of Business classes to get like a business certificate. Hopefully I get to play baseball for as long as I can, but if not, I mean, I'd love to work somewhere in the sports industry. Like, I mean, honestly, anywhere. Like, I enjoy basketball, football, baseball. So wherever I can end up, that's a good job and I'd love to do.
And so far in your Hoosier career, what performance of yours has been the most memorable for you?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of games where, LSU, so I'd start with there, LSU. That was coming in to pitch in front of 11,000 people, throwing two scoreless when we're up by two. That was a really good experience. And then we were able to take the lead to like five or something. So I never got to finish out or close out the game. But that was probably one of my favorite experiences. I know the second weekend of the season, I got into a bases load situation. We were up by one run, no outs in the top of the ninth. And I got out of it with a ground ball and then two straight strikeouts. So that was kind of just like my coming out of my maturity of being able to pitch through the super tough situations and adversity in such a high leverage situation. The Ball State game at Victory Field was another one too, which was fun too.
That was several innings, wasn't it? Was that four?
I think that was three. Yeah, three. Yeah.
I remember that. I was going to ask about that one if you didn't bring it up, because I remember that was an impressive night. That was fun.
So, Connor, what goals do you have heading into the 2021 season?
Well, honestly, I want to make it to Omaha. This is probably our last chance to make it to Omaha. We won the Big Ten, which is just good. It's a good goal to have, but I think we need to really just focus in on Omaha. One goal, like that's our best. We got great pitching staff this year. We got almost every hitter returning. I think we're primed and ready for a big run if everyone stays healthy, and we're deep in the bullpen now too. So, and then personal goals obviously is just to get drafted and have a good year, as well, as good of a year as I can have. So.
Can't beat that answer, Connor. Anything that ends with us going to Omaha sounds fine with me.
Yes, sir.
Agreed.
Now, Connor ended our season last year on the mound, closing out that final game, and it's about that time to close out the pod. I really want to thank you, Connor, for your time and giving us some insight into you know, your career and your baseball story. But that's going to do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. We're going to thank Josh Bennett for prepping some of our questions tonight. You can read up on the Indiana baseball program at iubase.com. You can follow us on Twitter at iubase17 or at see you at the BART. On Instagram, we're at iubase. And you can subscribe to the Talking Hoosier Baseball channel on YouTube. And if you listen to the pod, please make a review, give us some good ratings. Apparently it helps us out. We're like 67 episodes in and we're not sure why it helps, but review, give us 5 stars and you know, please help us out. So for Carl James, Cassidy Palmer and Connor Manis, I'm Chris Feeney and we'll see you at the BART.
Thanks for having me on tonight, guys.